kind of like your cell phone, captures the internet. There are radio waves, there's all around us. It's constantly going right through your bodies, right through the walls. And a radio is able to pick up on those. Now, if it,
so they bought it and remodeled it.
So listen right here. That's static. You hear that? Is this on? There we go. Now this radio's on. So I am
somewhat familiar with it.
So in other words, when it is not tuned into the right frequency, that's what you get. Static. But when you pick it up, when you get right on the right, the right frequency, then you're able to hear the music. And we're talking today about being able to tune in to the voice of God. Tuning in to the voice of God. And just like, you know, on your notes it says, does God speak, right? Does God speak? And if he does, then, and I'm going to tell you today, I believe God speaks and he speaks all the time. Then just like a radio, we need to tune in to what he's saying. We need to tune in our hearts to be able to hear, right? Our antennas need to be up and our hearts need to be tuned in to the frequency of the voice of God. So, you know, when we talk about God speaking, I want to start with the story of Job was very interesting because Job had gone through a terrible time. He had lost his 10 children. He was sick. He had boils and sores all over his body. And he, with three guys sitting down, started to get into this debate and discussion. And at some point, he starts to say, you know, God isn't speaking to me. God is silent. I don't hear him. And then this young man steps up and speaks. And this young guy, he says, you know, I've been here kind of waiting around, just waiting and listening to these older guys because they're older and I'm younger and he's waited for his turn. And when they had nothing else to say, he spoke up. And he says in Job 33:13, he says, why do you complain to him? Talking about God. Why do you complain to him that he responds to no one's words? And then he says, for God does speak. Now one way, now another. Though no one perceives it. Right? So he's saying God speaks through one way, through another way, but too often we miss it. We don't perceive what God is saying. We miss it as the voice of God. And then he goes on, right? And he gives some of the ways that God speaks in a dream, in a vision of the night, when in a deep sleep, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their beds. He may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings to turn them from wrongdoing and keep them from pride, to preserve them from the pit, their lives from perishing by the sword. So does God speak? I think he absolutely does. And when we think about it, that passage there is, there's a story in a book called Can You Hear Me? And in the first chapter of the book, Brad Jersak, a pastor, tells a story about his wife. His wife woke up in the middle of the night having a nightmare. The nightmare was that in her dream, she saw her three-year-old son hanging with a rope around his neck. And she just was terrified. Her heart was beating, and she started to pray. And it's like, God, what is this? And she heard the Lord say, or perceived God to say to her heart, that he was warning her. He was warning her that there was a danger for her three-year-old son. And she's like, God, what am I going to do? I can't be around him all the time, 24/7. He's 3 years old. He's everywhere, and I have to work. And how am I supposed to watch him every moment of the day? And she heard God say to her heart, entrust him to me. Entrust his care and protection to me, and I will take care of him. And she felt this peace come over her. Well, then, right after that, she and her oldest son, Stephen, both got the flu. So they go through a few days of this sickness. It's the fever, the flu, and the son Stephen is staying home from school. She's staying home from work. And then over the weekend, they felt a little bit better. Sunday comes along, and they feel good enough to go to church, so they go to church, whole family. But then Sunday night, little Stephen started to complain that he still wasn't feeling 100%, that he was, and then in the morning asked about staying home because he still didn't feel completely well. And his mom said, okay, well, you can stay with your little brother at the neighbor's house as she babysits him while I go out to work. So the oldest son, Stephen, and the little brother, three-year-old, Dominique, go next door, and they're staying at the neighbor's house. Well, they go downstairs into the basement, and they're just playing. And Stephen, who doesn't feel that well, is just laying on the couch. And the little three-year-old brother's just running around the room. And there's some things to play with in there. But the room was also used as a workout space for the neighbor. And she had a rope that was hanging from a pulley on the ceiling. And little three-year-old saw it, and it was a rope. It was fun, and he wanted to swing. So he climbed up, grabbed on the rope, and jumped. And the rope caught around his neck. His seven-year-old brother heard it, jumped up immediately, grabbed his little brother, lifted him out of the rope, and set him down. Well, when mom gets there to pick them up, she sees the rope marks on his neck, and she's like, God, what's the deal? And God, she hears the Lord say, I protected him. Like I said, I caused Stephen to be sick last night so that you would let him stay home today so that he would be here at that moment and save his little brother. And the mom says, okay, God. But then why did I have to get sick too? And she heard God say, because if you had not been sick also, you may not have sympathized with Stephen when he said he still didn't feel that good. And like many parents, right, no more fever. He just doesn't want to go to school. No, you need to go to school. By you being sick and knowing what he had gone through, you were more sympathetic and you let him stay home so that he could be here. Does God still do that? I mean, that's a story of a pastor and his wife, and they're telling their experience. Was it? Does God still speak to us today? I think he does. I think he speaks all the time. But sometimes we get turned off because, you know, we all have those moments when somebody says something, God, the Lord told me. And we're like, okay, I don't know, red flags, the Lord told me. And this has happened before. One pastor talks about his worship leader on one Sunday had like three different women come up to him and say, the Lord told me that you're supposed to marry me. Well, obviously, if three in the same Sunday, at least two of them had to be wrong, right? And that's why I think that Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, he says, do not quench the Spirit, right? Do not quench the Spirit, you know, put the Spirit out. But then he goes a little further. He says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. So don't listen to a prophecy or a prophetic word and think, oh, that can't be, or, you know, just look down on it. Now, when we're talking about prophecy, we're not talking about predicting the future. We're talking about revelation. Like God speaks, and one of the words used for God speaking is prophecy. It's just it's revelation. That's what it means. So whenever God shows you something you didn't know before, that's a prophetic revelation. God is showing you something. If you're reading the Bible and the Lord speaks to you from the scriptures, that's revelation. If you're praying and in your prayer time, the Lord speaks to you, that he's revealing something to you. So one of the words for that is prophecy or a prophetic revelation. So there's no reason to be scared of that word. But he tells them, so don't treat prophecies with contempt, but test them. Test them all and hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. So what he's saying is if somebody has a word, if you think that God is speaking to you, test it. We would say confirm it. Okay, well, let me confirm that. If one of you comes to me and I say, I think the Lord is telling us that we should do this or we should start this ministry. Okay, well, let me confirm that. Let's test it. Let's go to prayer and see if the Lord confirms it through the body and through multiple people. So that's what he's getting at here. So as I said, does God speak? Well, we already read Job. Job tells us that God speaks continually, right? He speaks to us in many different ways. But then Jeremiah 33, verses 2 and 3, it's many call this the Lord's phone number. What's God's phone number? Jeremiah 33, 2. And it's because he says this. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who founded it and established it, the Lord is his name. So I wanted to read this verse first because it's the Lord that is speaking, right? He says his name there three times. The Lord says, the Lord who formed and established the earth, the Lord is his name, and he says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. So listen to what he's saying. God, the creator of heaven and earth, says to us, call on me and I will answer and tell you great and unsearchable things, right? That's revelation, revealing to us things that we couldn't know unless he told us and made it known to us. And he doesn't say, call to me and I'll get back to you when I can. Call to me and I'll get somebody else on it right away. You know, call to me and I might answer. Call to me and the devil will answer you. No, he says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things. So, the first blank on your notes. God has a lot to say and he is always communicating. God has a lot to say and he is always communicating. So I didn't want to just say God has a lot to say. I wanted to put that second sentence. He is always communicating because most of what it says, when it talks about God speaking, it talks about God speaking, about the voice of God. So we, being humans, we think voice, we think verbal, audible communication, we think words, we think sentences, and then we think hearing what someone is saying. But we've already seen that when it talks about God communicating or God speaking, it really means God communicates in many different ways. And sometimes it is an audible voice where he speaks like he did from heaven when Jesus came out of the water or when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Sometimes it's that inward impression. It's the voice that you hear in your heart. Ephesians talks about the ears of your heart, right? To hear with your heart. But there's other ways. He told Jeremiah, what do you see? And he says, oh, I see a kettle. Right. And now, Jeremiah, what do you see? Well, I see an almond branch. Okay, so he's speaking to Jeremiah with words, but he's also giving him pictures or images in his mind. So God has a lot to say, and he is always communicating with us. And in the Old Testament, like with the prophet Jeremiah, he spoke through the prophets. But Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says that in these days, he is speaking to us through his son, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus, when he is talking with his disciples in John chapter 16, he says this to them. So now John chapter 16, this is the Olivet discourse. These are the last moments that Jesus has with his disciples. So it's coming now to an end. Of his 3 years. He is about to be arrested and crucified. He's talking with his disciples. And it's kind of like when you're going away, you know, you have so much more to say, but you know you're running out of time. And he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. In other words, it's more than you can bear, but it's also more than he has time to communicate. So what's he going to do? But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, listen to what it says, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Well, how will he do that? He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So Jesus is saying, his 3 years, he talked. He talked to his disciples. He preached. He talked to people that would listen. He had a lot to say, and at the end of the 3 years, he's not done speaking, but his time is running out. But he says, but don't worry, I'm going to go to the Father. The Holy Spirit will come, and he will continue to speak to you everything that he hears in heaven. Everything the Father is saying that you need to know, he will speak to you. And then he goes on, right? The Spirit will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. See, I like how it says that again, what he will make known to you. So he's speaking, but he's also revealing. He's making it known to us. So God has a lot to say, and he says it constantly. So like the radio, there's so much that he is saying constantly to us. But we need to tune in to his voice. Acts chapter 2 is where Jesus says the Holy Spirit, we just read in John 16, the Holy Spirit will come and he will guide you. Well, in Acts chapter 2, that is fulfilled. The Holy Spirit is poured out on the church. It's called the day of Pentecost. On that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out in a fulfillment of the prophet Joel, who said that he would pour out his Spirit in the last days on his sons and daughters, and they would prophesy and they would see dreams. And it's outpouring. It's not a little bit here and there. One prophet I'll talk to one day, another one over here. There's a Moses, there's a Jeremiah, there's a Daniel. No, now it's on all my sons and daughters. It's a flood. He's pouring out his Spirit on us. So he is constantly communicating with us. Now, I need to ask you forgiveness, because in the next two lines, there are sentences that says, Jesus blank and blank his sheep. I've changed, after I printed this yesterday, I changed these next two lines. So you'll just have to scratch that out and write this new one in place. So next thing, Jesus calls and his sheep listen. Jesus calls and his sheep listen. He calls and his sheep listen. So this is where we're going to focus on now in John chapter 10. Jesus calls and his sheep listen. John chapter 10. Jesus says, truly, truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. All right, so let me take a moment. We've talked in the past few weeks about our enemy. We had a couple of discussions about our enemy who seeks to steal, to kill, to destroy us. Well, here again, Jesus is referring to himself as the shepherd. And he says, okay, in the field are the sheep, right? We're the sheep. We're his children. And he says, but some are trying to jump into the pen, and they're trying to steal away the sheep, and they're trying to destroy you. They're trying to speak falsely to you. They're trying to get you to listen to them instead of listening to me, your shepherd. And they'll lie to you, and they'll everything they'll do will be to destroy and to steal my peace that I want to give to you. Okay, so that's what's going on here. He's letting them know there are people trying to get in and talk to you who are not the right people, not the good shepherd. But the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. The gatekeeper, so Jesus says he is the good shepherd. He comes into the pen, and he speaks to his sheep. He talks to them, and his sheep listen to his voice. They listen to what he says. They hear his voice. But it's not just listening. So Jesus is talking to us, and he's letting us know he is speaking to us who believe in him. But it's not just that he speaks and we listen. The next line that also changed is that Jesus leads and his sheep follow. Jesus leads us and his sheep follow him. Right? So it is not just simply the fact that he is speaking and talking to us, because Jesus is very quick to continually remind us that it's not just simply listening. Jesus was at least twice he's teaching, and one woman said to him, blessed is the woman who gave birth to you. And Jesus says, no. Rather, blessed is he who hears my words and obeys them. Right? So Jesus is constantly saying, it's not just, okay, I'm speaking and you're hearing me, but you're not following. You're not obeying. His sheep, if he's the good shepherd, then a good sheep will follow, will hear him and follow him. Because remember, Jesus doesn't just want believers. Because it says in James chapter 1 or chapter 2 that even the demons believe and tremble. Remember the demon in Acts, when we studied that one in Acts chapter 19? The demon responded to those seven brothers and says, "Peter, Paul I've heard of, Jesus I know." And when Jesus would confront demon-possessed people, they would declare who he was. So he's not looking for just people to say, yeah, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, but I'm not following him. His sheep will hear his voice and then respond to what he is saying. So John chapter 10, this is where we see that. He says, when he has brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. See, there it is. They follow him because they know his voice, and they follow. So now Jesus is not only speaking, he is leading. And the sheep are not only listening, they are following and obeying what he says. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. My sheep, they listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So just like we said, the thief, the robbers, they get in and they want to lie to us. And the thing is, there are so many voices. We know that to be true because there are so many voices in our lives trying to tell us all kinds of different things about who we are, what we're supposed to do, right? Whether it's friends or peer pressure or music with a message about you should do this, you should be this, or our parents saying who we are, or the culture, or our education. But the Good Shepherd, he speaks to us and he tells us, well, this is who you are. This is who I created you to be. And he calls us by name. He knows each of us by name. So when God is talking, and this is what we have to understand, when God is talking, he's not only talking about his plans or what he needs us to do, he's talking about us. I mean, as parents, right? Don't we brag on our kids? Don't we talk about our kids? And I mean, good parents are constantly, I mean, you know, I still show people pictures of my family, my kids, and even though even when I'm doing it, I'm thinking, they don't care. But I still want to pull it out and show them. Because he knows them by name, and they follow him. So much of what Jesus has to say is not just, hey, do this and do that. He's speaking into us. There's a lot of videos about shepherding, and there was a really cool one about, they were tourists up in front of a sheep pen. And they were each trying to call the sheep, and the sheep wouldn't even lift up their heads. And then the shepherd walks over to the gate, and he calls them. They pop up their heads, and they all come running to the gate. The one I'm going to show you is the one I picked because it's a shepherd, and he's a Christian, and he has some really good insights as a shepherd about what it means to follow our good shepherd.
Hey, good morning. This is Ray over here at Namrak Farms. It's a beautiful thing just to be out with your sheep, hanging out with them. Lately, I've been reading a lot about sheep that hear the voice of the shepherd. It's been making me think a little bit. No matter how hard I try, if a sheep is not a member of the flock here on the Namrak Farm, if I walk up to some other place where sheep are at and I start to call out, they don't know my voice. They're not coming. In fact, they'll never know my voice unless they end up at my farm and they intermingle with my sheep. And at first, they still won't hear my voice and come. But my sheep, they will hear my voice. They will come. And eventually, that new sheep that has come to be a part of this flock, well, they will come as well. Because they will have followed my sheep. You see how that works? A sheep who does not know my voice learns to listen to my voice and to follow my voice when my sheep follow me. And it doesn't matter how hard we try. If someone out there in the world does not know the voice of the Good Shepherd, they're not going to hear it. They're not going to understand it, and they're not going to follow. But the Good Shepherd, he knows that if he places his sheep around that lost one, and if they will obey and they will follow when they hear his voice, eventually, yes, eventually, they too, those lost sheep, will hear his voice. And because the shepherd's sheep follow, they too will eventually follow and come to the shepherd. Today, let me encourage you. When he calls, obey. When you hear his voice, listen and follow. so that others may come to know him too. Go enjoy the shepherd. I'll see you soon.
In the first service, right around this moment, somebody's phone actually rang. It was like, great, I couldn't time it better. I love that picture of him walking and the sheep following. And just, again, an illustration of Jesus walking and his sheep following him. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Now, where is he leading us to? So the shepherd, Jesus, is leading us. We hear him. We follow him. First and foremost, he leads us to the Father. That's the most important thing. He leads us to the Father. Some of us are more doers, and we're thinking, what does Jesus need me to do? I want to serve God. I want to represent God. I want to speak for God. But the most important and first thing is to be with God, not to do for God. There are things he needs us to do, but the most important thing is being with the Father. He leads us to the Father. So in John chapter 10, where he's talking about being the good shepherd, he says once again, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So it's not just now, okay, they hear me, and they follow me. Now they know me. Right? You see the difference? There's hearing Jesus, there's following Jesus, but now there's knowing Jesus. And this is what he says, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for them. Can you imagine what he's saying here? That just like Jesus knows the Father, we can know Jesus and the Father through him. We can know the Father. You don't know him without hearing him. You can't know him without him opening up and revealing to you who he is. The main thing that he wants to reveal to us is who he is. John Piper talks about the supremacy of God, the glory of God, and he says, there is nothing that God can give you that is better than himself. Not health, not money, not riches, nothing will compare to God himself. And that's why it's like our brother Tenny, who passed away, we had his going home service on Friday. And I shared some videos from the prayer meetings, because Tenny was always the first one to come up to the microphone and pray. And I shared some Tenny-isms and some of the things that he always said every week. And most of them are full of energy. Like, he would come up to the mic and the first thing he would always say is, praise the Lord, church! And then he would just go off. But the last one, he walked up to the microphone, the last clip I showed, he's walking up to the microphone, and in the background, or he had heard a song playing that says, just a little talk with Jesus. Just a little talk with Jesus. And he comes up to the microphone and he's quiet. And he says, you know, the song was saying, just a little talk with Jesus. I don't want a little talk with Jesus. I want a big talk with Jesus. And he just says, because I love him. I mean, it was so genuine that at that moment when I heard that and I was getting the video ready, I just imagined that's what the disciples must have felt when they were listening to Jesus talk with the Father. They were watching his closeness and relationship with the Father, and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray the way you pray. We don't know the Father the way you do. We don't talk to him like that. Will you teach us how to have a relationship, how to speak to the Father? And I think that's what this guy was getting at. When people see us, when other sheep or those who are lost sheep are not part of the flock yet, hear us talking with Jesus, see the authenticity of our relationship with Jesus, they say, I want that. I want to know God the way you know God. I want to have the faith that you have. Teach me. But here's where I disagree with the video. He said that those who are not part of the flock will not hear the shepherd's voice. No, they will hear it. They won't necessarily recognize it right away, but they will hear it. Because that's part of the problem that Jesus had with the Pharisees. That those that were good were the ones who heard God's voice. Those who were part of the kingdom were the ones that heard God's voice. Those who were part of Israel and were walking in righteousness, the righteous hear God's voice, but not the wicked, not the sinners. Like the blind man that Jesus healed, and they said to him, you were born in sin, and in sin did your mother conceive you. You've been in sin since the day you were born, and you're going to try to lecture us. Right? That's the idea. But we see throughout Scripture, like the prodigal son, he was way out in the mire, in the filth of his sin, And God spoke to him. I mean, how many drug addicts hear God speaking to them in the moments that they're getting high? I mean, God speaks to us in the middle of our sin. And if anything, Scripture teaches that his voice gets even louder, not softer. And Francis Thompson wrote a poem in the late 1800s, and it's called The Hound of Heaven. The Hound of Heaven. And I'm not going to read the poem, but I'm going to read what John Francis Xavier O'Connor wrote about the poem. Because it's a Christian poem. The hound, like a bloodhound, that's what it means, a bloodhound. The Hound of Heaven is God in the poem. So John Francis says this about the poem. The meaning is understood. As the hound follows the hare, never ceasing in its running, ever drawing nearer in the chase, with unhurrying and in imperturbed pace, so does God follow the fleeing soul by his divine grace. And though in sin or in human love, away from God it seeks to hide itself, right? Whether in our sin or even in love for ourselves, we just so wrapped up in ourselves, we try to hide ourselves from God. Away from God, it seeks to hide itself. Divine grace follows after. Unwaringly follows ever after till the soul feels its pressure forcing it to turn to him alone in that never-ending pursuit. I'm sure that Francis Thompson must have experienced what it was to run from God's voice and to experience the hounding of God coming after him again and again and again until he stopped and turned. Listened to his master, his shepherd, and followed him. So how do we tune in? How do we tune in our senses to what the Lord is saying? There's a whole lot more to it. This is actually what we'll be talking about on Sunday mornings, about being able to hear the voice of God and just have a conversation. But one of the first things you can do in order to start hearing the voice of God is stop what we could call the voicemail prayers, right? Or the answering machine prayers, or the voicemail prayers. That's where you know, when you call and you get a voicemail, the person can't talk to you. You just say, okay, I want to let you know that God, everything's going okay. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for providing. I want to pray for my kids today. I want to pray for the job interview that's coming up. I want to pray for the picnic coming up this Sunday. Pray for health, protect us all, and thank you very much. Love you, God. Amen. And we hang up. So that God eventually gets to the voicemail. Here's our prayer, right? No, prayer is a conversation. The first way of tuning in is just, he's already talking to us. All we got to do is when we sit down with him is get away. It says that Jesus would get away to a quiet place. So one of the first things we need to do is unplug. We talked about social media and stuff last week, right? One of the things we have to do is unplug. I love worship. That's one of the ways God speaks to me is through worship. But I've also realized that I can't come in here and pray for 30 minutes or an hour just with worship music the whole time. Even the worship music, I need to turn off and just sit and listen. And I'll just share with you. I mean, I'm a walker. Like when I'm really thinking and I'm focused, I'm walking and praying because it helps me to not get distracted, especially if I'm praying early in the morning and I'm still sleepy. I, you know, kneel down and then before I know it, I'm my head's bobbing. So I walk to stay awake. But in the last few weeks, this spot right here has become my spot. When I'm ready to just stop walking, I'll sit right here on these steps. And I'll just listen. And God speaks to me. I mean, it's not complicated. And so one way is to unplug, separate, find the time, because that's what Jesus did. He went away to be alone with the Father, and he did it morning and evening. Just like Psalm says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of mockers, but he delights on the law of the Lord and he meditates on it day and night. The other thing, so separate time to be unplugged and alone with God and not just talk to God, but listen to God. We practiced this a little bit last Wednesday night. And we just practiced hearing what God had to say to us about who we are in his eyes. So separating the time and allowing him to speak. There's so many other things. I've been giving God God speaks through all of our senses. So I've been more aware and attuned to that. You know, sometimes I would be praying, and I'm praying about something, and a thought will come into my head. You know, like an image or something. And I would just say, oh, I'm sorry, God, I'm getting distracted. I'm sorry, I got to focus. And it's almost like the Holy Spirit said, Tony, what are you doing? You're praying, you're talking to your Father. Why don't you first ask or think that maybe that image, that thought, is not a distraction, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's me speaking to you, telling you. So now sometimes I'm praying, and when a thought or something comes into my mind, I say, Lord, is this a distraction, or are you speaking to me right now through this? And then what does it mean? So ask the Lord that. And just those two questions, just separate time alone to be with God. Ask him, and if he speaks to you, don't expect that you're automatically going to know what he means. Say, okay, Lord, what does that mean? And you'll be amazed at how much Jesus wants to talk to you and tell you those things. Like I said, we'll be talking about this on Sunday mornings or in the Sunday school hour to go deeper and just to model and practice. So with that, I want to pray, and I want to just ask, let's just close our eyes, and let's just have a moment of just being quiet before the Lord. And invite Jesus now to speak to you. Holy Spirit, do what you were given to us to do. To reveal to us and guide us and make known to us the heart of the Father. So that we can know Jesus and the Father and you, just like Jesus and the Father and you know each other. Speak, Spirit of Truth, speak truth into our hearts. If there are voices that we've been listening to, and I think some right now are probably, you're hearing God speak to you, but there's almost a, well, that's not the same thing I've heard. That's not the, and there's almost a challenge, a disbelief that God could really be saying that, because that's not what you've heard about yourself for so long. And it's the Holy Spirit saying, the other voice, the other thing you've heard is a lie. That's not my voice. What I'm speaking to you right now is, hold on to it, grab onto it, believe it, and let the truth cast out the lie, break the lie in the name of Jesus. I think the Holy Spirit is saying that to somebody. Let's just let the Lord speak to us a little bit more, and then we'll worship. If there's anybody here also who you've never heard God's voice, or you're not sure if you've had, because you're not sure if you're part of his sheep, and he's calling you today. He's calling you to follow him, to join his flock, and to begin today to hear his voice for the first time, to understand, to perceive his voice for the first time. So if that's you, would you just say, Jesus, I believe in you, and I surrender my life to you. I hear you're calling me, and I say, yes, Jesus, I will follow. In Jesus' name.
We're going to go into a song, and if you're totally comfortable where you're at and you want to just sit there and let it sink in, you're welcome to stay seated. If you'd like to stand up and sing, you can also do that. You get to decide for yourself what works for you today. We ask you to speak, Lord. When you say our names, when you say our name, narrow as the road may seem, I'll follow where your spirit leads. Broken as my life may be, I will give you every piece. I hear you call. I just wanna see you move.